The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. The disciples approached Jesus and said, "Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" He called a child over, placed it in their midst, and said, "Amen, I say to you, unless you turn and become like children, you will not enter the kingdom of heaven. Whoever becomes humble like this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And whoever receives one child such as this in my name receives me. See that you do not despise one of these little ones. For I say to you that their angels in heaven always look upon the face of my heavenly Father. What is your opinion? If a man has 100 sheep and one of them goes astray, will he not leave the 99 in the hills and go in search of the stray? And if he finds it, amen, I say to you, he rejoices more over it than over the 99 that did not stray. In just the same way, it is not the will of your heavenly Father that one of these little ones be lost." The Gospel of the Lord. Good. So once again, good morning, brothers and sisters. And welcome, special welcome to all of the principals of all the schools that are here amongst us in our midst. Raise your hand if you're one of the principals of one of the schools amongst us in our midst. Wonderful. All the young kids in the diocese, their souls are in a special way entrusted to the care and protection of these principals. So wonderful that we start with Mass, and as a generality, we keep the principals in your prayers throughout the year. You're helping all the kids of the diocese, right? And of course, a special heartfelt welcome to Father Jamie Workman, who's our Vicar General. Do you know what that means? That basically means he's like Vice Bishop, okay? So you better be on your best behavior. That's all I have to say. Or maybe I better be on my best behavior. A little tiny thought for you here for the day. Here's a reading for us. It comes to us from a section of the Gospel of Matthew that's known as the Community Discourse, because it's all about how to get along with other people. The Community Discourse, just in case you're curious, Matthew chapter 18. And it's all about how to get along with other people, because the greatest difficulty that people have in following Christ the Lord, when they're serious about following Christ the Lord, is interpersonal conflicts. Misunderstandings, rash judgments, jealousies, detractions, antipathies, interpersonal conflicts. And there's this idea that we all of us have it in our minds that if I could just selectively eliminate certain people from my life, then I'd become holy. Yes or yes? Yes. What we want to understand is that it's the presence of those people in your life that God is using to make you holy. Pardon me for sharing a personal story or two here with you. Before I went into the seminary, I lived in a fraternity house. And I went directly from the fraternity to the seminary. And when I did, I heaved a huge sigh of relief. I said, at last, I'm going to be among people who are serious about following Christ. Now I'll finally become holy. Well, that illusion was shattered in about 24 hours. Then I tried to become a monk. Carthusian monks. And I thought to myself, at last, now I'm finally among people who are really trying to follow Christ. Now I'm really going to become holy. Well, that illusion was shattered in about a week, because it's an illusion as old as the hills. Back in the 12th century, it was St. Bernard of Clairvaux. He once said, "Vita communis maxima penitentia." The common life is the greatest penance. True for the apostles, true for the first Christians, true for the saints, going to be true for you and me as well. And that's what leads us to this little gospel here that we just got finished reading. Because this little gospel takes place right after the event of the Transfiguration. Do y'all remember the event of the Transfiguration and what happened? And Jesus took Peter, James, John, top of a high mountain. There he was transfigured before them. How many apostles went to the top of that high mountain? Three. You ever wondered what the other nine were thinking when they were left behind at the bottom of the mountain? Well, chances are they were jealous. because every time it's mentioned, when they come back down from the mountain, they start fighting. And it's always about the same thing. Which one of us is the greatest, right? They were probably jealous as all get out. Which one of us is the greatest? And Jesus surprises them all, telling them the last thing they'd ever want to hear. He tells them about humility. Whoever becomes humble like this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Humility is the virtue that makes interpersonal relationships flourish. And here's a quick working definition of humility. If you can think of pride as being that will to put yourself first, that everybody's going to think about me, humility would be the opposite virtue. It'd be the virtue to want to forget about yourself entirely. You know, whereas pride wants everybody to focus in on myself, humility is that virtue by which you don't care if you're completely forgotten. Makes virtues flourish. Now, humility is not the most important virtue in the spiritual life. It's not. But it is the one that makes all the others possible. St. Jose Maria Escriva, he once used this image. He says, think of a rosary. All the beads of the rosary held on by the chain. Virtues in your life, they're like the beads of the rosary. Humility is like the chain that holds them all in place. And guess what? Humility can flourish precisely because of interpersonal conflicts if you'll let it. It's part of God's plan. I once heard this illustrated in a little metaphor. It used the etymology of the word humility to make its point. And humility comes from the Latin word humus, which means earth. And it kind of made this point. It says, you know, all life grows up from the earth. And similarly, all life can grow up from humility, but only if what happens to your soul is the same thing as what happens to the earth. So before anything can grow up from the earth, three things have to happen. Number one, you got to plow. Number two, you got to seed. Number three, you got to fertilize, right? So you got to plow. Break that comfortable earth wide open. Then you can plant a seed. And once you got the seed in the open earth, you can put fertilizer, life springs up. And it's like that for your soul. First thing God has to do, he has to plow. And that means he has to rip up your plants. All your little plans that you made, all your little ideas you had of what your life was going to be and how today was going to go. Don't be surprised God rips them up. You want to know why? Because it's only after he opens up your soul that he can drop in the seed. And Jesus said the seed is the word of God. You ever noticed how people who have their lives upended by this or that are more receptive to receiving what God has to give to them? More receptive. Then, of course, the last thing you need is fertilizer, right? What's a great fertilizer? Manure. And life serves up plenty of that, doesn't it? So it's a little tiny thought for you here for the day. The interpersonal conflicts, all of those ones we want to pray away, sometimes they're exactly what God wants you to wrestle with. No conflict, no growth. If you want to stay comfortable, you can forget about growing because you have to leave that comfort zone to become what God wants you to be. So interpersonal conflicts, they're in your life for a reason. Receive them in faith, receive them in prayer, and God will make great things grow forth from you. Let's ask for the prayers of the saints to help us to do that. St. Teresa Benedicta of the Cross, pray for us.